Praise the Lord. Amen. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Good morning. We're now approaching lesson 11, so the key topics focused on the church. But the church is the ultimate manifestation of God's heart's desire. So this is a review of the previous years, part of the review of the previous years of the Summer School of Truth. This is going to be the first part that's related to last year's speaking on the church. So if you just consider the church and how important it is to God, it is truly his ultimate masterpiece. And if you look within the Bible, it actually is there multiple times. You look in Numbers, the children of Israel were arrayed in a camp, and they were all pointed towards the tabernacle where God's presence was residing. Then you look in with them going into the good land and claiming that for themselves. Then you look in the Song of Songs with Shulamite as the lover of the Lord. So that's representative of the church. Then we have explicit reference in the New Testament within Ephesians 5 from Paul, where he speaks and says, oh Lord, right. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. But lastly, I think the point I just want to kind of hammer on is Genesis 2 with Adam and Eve. Often when we think of the church, maybe in the cultural sense, there might be an affiliation with people just thinking of the building. I have some coworkers at work, and there was a person that really loved the New York Rangers. And so he says, oh, you go to church on Sunday? Well, I'll tell you where my church is, MSG, on Sunday mornings, or Saturday evenings at this point. But that's not the church. The church is an organism. And as we'll see throughout the message, we have these other five statuses. But let's just focus on Genesis 2, 21 to 23. And Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And Jehovah God built the rib, which he had taken from the man, into a woman, and brought her to the man. And the man said, this time, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, because out of man this one was taken. This is already the second chapter within the Old Testament, and God's already talking about the church. Eve was built from the rib of Adam. So that indicates something about the church. It has to have the same life. It has to have the same nature. It has to have the same expression so that the man can recognize that this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So, praise the Lord. Maybe, perhaps, we'll just read through parts of the outline. So, Roman numeral 1. Let's have the sisters read Roman numeral 1 together. The church is the goal God wants to obtain in his eternal economy. Each one of us who is saved participates in this goal, that God may attain his heart's desire according to his good pleasure. And then two, the statuses of the church in God's economy. Brothers, how about we read A together? The term church is ecclesia in Greek, which means the called out assembly, indicating that the church is a congregation called out. That's right. So the church is not just simply a matter of people getting together. These are the ones that God has called out, the ones that he has brought together. And then we'll quickly read B. The church is the house of God. This house refers to God's dwelling place and also refers to God's family, God's household. God's household is the very house for God's dwelling. I don't know about your house, but I don't think my house grows like this. Let's read a little bit from the scriptures. Hold on. 1 Timothy 3:15. How about the sisters? You could pull that. Actually, I'll just read it. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, but if I delay, I write that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth. So we see over here, there's a direct connection. 1 Timothy 3:15 says the church is the house of God. And then if we look at Ephesians 2:21, in whom all the building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. growing into a holy temple in the world, in the Lord. That's choice words over there. My house doesn't grow. It's physically constrained to its lot of, I think, 1,100 square feet. It's not going to do anything more except depreciate maybe in cost. But this Paul writes here in Ephesians that the church is a temple that's growing together. So this is an organic entity, and it's not meant to be finite and fixed. It's dynamic, it's changing, and it's growing. In terms of just considering, I just touched on this other point about God's family, God's household. Saints, the church should be your family. Now, just considering last night's speaking, wasn't it wonderful when the brothers just opened up all those particular topics for us to just talk to speak on? It was just a normal conversation. And I think it's the heart of the serving ones and the brothers here that you could just open up in terms of fellowship for anything. I think for my own experience, when I was your age, I was desperately thinking about what job I would have. And that was back when I was in 10th grade. So that was a little bit abnormal, but given, in terms of, I just felt like I needed to kind of open this up. You know, I brought it up to my parents, and the first thing they said to me, you should bring it up to one of the elders. I said, what? One of the elders? But, you know, this, I finally, through that particular speaking and fellowship, I just felt open to come to him. It was 10th grade. I was considering, I had just heard a wonderful thing about God. I had just been growing up into the church life. I saw the vision of the church, and I wanted to do all sorts of things. I wanted to set and orient my life around that. So, but there were different things that were weighing on my mind. So I'm actually the second child within my family. My sister's about 8 years older. And so she went to college, and when she went to college, there was just a lot of struggling within my family. Maybe there was some issue with the finances and other things, but you know, that was on my heart. I wanted to take care of my family. I wanted to take care of all the different considerations when I was considering my job. So when I went to this brother, this elder, for fellowship, we just talked about all sorts of things. We talked about my situation at home. We talked about just my extended family, things I was going through. And finally, I was able to just release to him my whole burden. It's like just where I wanted to be, where I wanted to land up. And so he asked me just a couple of questions. And actually, he asked me this question. It's like, what do you like and what do you want to do? And so I said, well, I like mathematics and I like business. I want to be an accountant. And so the brother, he kind of looked at me and he said, so you're learning higher education, mathematics, calculus, and you want to be an accountant. Why would you do that? The accountant, you know, it's just simple addition. So no offense to the accountants in the room, but, you know, through that fellowship, I was able to receive something. He says, why not consider being an actuary? And that's actually what I ended up coming to go. I'm actually an actuary today working for a company. But that fellowship came, out of that fellowship, there was a covering. I felt I could be safe with that brother to tell him everything that was on my heart. And the second component was that there was a supply. And he practically helped me in that case. At the end, we just prayed together, and I felt very good. I looked into the actuarial career path, and I ended up, and that's from that one fellowship I was able to be here with you today and just be able to speak. So just this is, you know, just a little plug or something. Just bring every concern that you have up for the body. Amen. Amen. So point C, the church is the body of Christ with Christ as the head. It is constituted for Christ in his life and spirit with all those who have believed into him. It is a living organism. So not only is the body of Christ just made up of the many members, it actually, every member has its particular function. I think this example may have been used before. I'm not, but here we go. It's sometimes we might just be the pinky, and I might have an itch up in my ear canal. But in order for me to get to it, I need this. My thumb isn't going to do it. My elbow certainly can't do it. But this little pinky, this is what needs to go in. And so that's its special portion and that's its function. But so that is the reality of the body. We need all the members and it needs to continue to grow. The second aspect I want to just cover on this is just the matter of fullness. In terms of, we might consider the conglomerates of today. How many of you use Amazon Prime to like, or Amazon to like ship over things? A fair amount of things. So Amazon actually has aisles and aisles and aisles of stuff. They have warehouses all throughout many places in the globe. But could you say that that represents the fullness within the Amazon aisles? What if, I mean, you have access to it from your laptop, but can you bring that fullness into, can you say maybe it's some snacks or other things? You can't bring that into yourself. The fullness of that is what has been absorbed, what has been assimilated and become part of your body. So in the same way, the fullness, this is something that we kind of need to all grow into. Lord Jesus. Do I have that? So, and I think this is where most of my burden is. The church is the new man, a corporate man. In the new man, there are no persons of the old creation belonging to any race, religion, culture, or class. Only Christ is all the constituents of this new man and is in all its constituents. So, in terms of building up this one new man, it can't be something out of the old creation. And I think I just want to highlight different things. So I identify already at the beginning as an actuary. So that means I'm fairly good with numbers and data and some other sorts of items. But even when it comes to your service, you can't, whatever you touch with the body cannot be of the natural self. And maybe I'll just give a few examples. So when coming up to college conferences, sometimes I'm the one that's supposed to arrange the rides coming up for 40-plus people. And I can tell you, I was like, oh, great, data sets. I love Excel. Let me throw in the VLOOKUPs and throw in some data sets, and let's get this, and I'll pour over 2-3 hours, get it done. The first time I did this, I was like, great, everyone has a seat, everyone has a ride. This is going to be excellent. It's going to be fine. All I need to do is just drive this van, and park it in Manhattan. At the Manhattan Hall, there's like a guaranteed parking spot that's just right beside the hall. And often you can just go over there and park it late at night. So I got there around 10 p.m. I was about to go in and lock the door, but I said, hey, what's that vehicle that's sitting over there? Something was blocking the parking lot. Turns out the superintendent had decided to we had an agreement with the superintendent, and he parked his car over there. So I was busy trying to call this person. And I think I spent about 2 hours until finally I just gave up and had to drive the car a whole 45 minutes back to Queens. So that was the first time that happened. The second time, it was like the Lord was trying to tell me something there. The second time I did the coordination, I said, okay, I'm going to call the super. It's good. All right, now we're going to have a van over at 34th Street. We're going to have a van over at NYU. We're going to leave at 3 p.m. No problem. I'm going to pick up the car around 2 p.m. from the meeting hall. It's all going to be set. The second time that happened, I hadn't had fellowship with some of the brothers, and I found out there was 45 square feet of new concrete poured right where the garage pavement was supposed to be. So I couldn't move the vans out from that parking lot, and I had to wait. And that van needed to be out that day. The alternative was just to wait an entire day. But that van needed to get out. So thankfully with the brothers, we were able to move that out. And then I think the third time I was with a brother, and we were trying to get the vehicle at 1 p.m. And turns out everything was fine. Everything was covered. There was no concrete on the floor. I was able to go there earlier. I tried to get there at 1 p.m. to pick up the car. I thought I had enough fellowship with the brothers. Everything was just good and perfect. I came with the brother, tried to turn the key in the lock. The garage door would not open. It's a mechanical gate, and it was stuck there. 30, 45 minutes of just sticking over there. It was then I finally realized, three times of this happening with things with the van, nothing of the old man, nothing of our culture, of our background, of our just what we think we know can be for the service and building up of the new man. So that, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. So that's my identity in terms of that. I was letting my identity, thinking that I could do using my background in order to build up, but really what the Lord is after is just himself. Amen. And just to have his builded persons. So. Let me see. How many of you actually identify in your school group as something? You know, maybe you're the high-achieving student. Maybe you're the one that is just the team player within your group. Or maybe you just like going to school to play soccer and basketball, and that's well and good. Or maybe you're the group that goes together and you fangirl or something over K-pop, or consider Ninja's game stream at night or something. You know, none of that is something. On the one hand, we all have our portion that needs to be brought to the Lord. But on the other hand, nothing of the old creation can be used to kind of build up each time. I think this example might help. What I have here is just a bottle of water, and this is actually oil. So for those that have actually taken, just imagine, this is the old man. Look at that old man, so filled with oil. Let's just put it here and let's do some fellowship. This is going to be the body of Christ. Let's just kind of go over. What's happening up there? Hey, this isn't quite going so well over here. Can you describe to me what's going on, Larry?
The oil is separating from the water.
The oil is separating from the water. Okay, I'm going to try and mix it. It's going to be fine. Oh, look, it's fine, right? Larry, it's fine, right? I mixed it a little bit.
They're still separating.
How about, you want to try a little bit? Yeah. Try and shake it? Okay. Sorry. This is fine. Hands are greasy. Now, what do you think, Brother Joey? It's still separated. I can't do anything about that. This is just the natural property of the oil. And this is the natural property of the water. No matter what you do, if you just have the oil and the water, it's never going to separate. So that's the same thing when it comes to building the new man. I think I'm just going to read just a little, if my phone will cooperate. This is kind of like ourselves. That oil, this oil over here, this is our natural self. Everything that we think is good, everything that we think that is of high quality, even that doesn't meet the high standard of the church and of the body. Let me just read this small portion from the experience of Christ. It talks about being a magnanimous person. I can't even say the word, but for an SAT word, that means just being a great person, in a sense. So, therefore, we should never have the concept that to deal with self means to be magnanimous and thus become a magnanimous person. We must differentiate clearly the matter of dealing with self from being magnanimous. For example, in the church or at home, once we have discovered that we have our own opinions, we should not let them pass lightly, but deal with them. Neither should we simply withdraw our opinion peacefully and let the matter go. The attitude of being tolerant will afford more growth to our opinion. We must see that we have already been crucified with the Lord on the cross, that whatever opinion and self are being exposed, we should apply the killing of the cross to the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the part. Dealing with self is an absolutely different matter. To be magnanimous is to hide your opinion, but to deal with self is to reject your opinion. To be magnanimous is to temporarily swallow your opinion, but to deal with self is to hand over your opinion to the thorough killing of the cross. Therefore, one who has really learned the lesson of dealing with self has on one hand a firm decision in his spirit, and on the other hand, because he has been broken, he does not seem to have any opinion. So being a magnanimous person, that's just like shaking this water with the oil. It's never going to separate. But if we're ones that are just before the Lord and we just tell, Lord, I am such things. I just want to be redeemed from you. I'm just open to you, to your moving, to make more room in my heart. I think he'll have the ground to be able to make you part of the one new man. But what does this killing of the self, the one new man, practically look like? Last year, I ended up going over to Taiwan, and we spent some time with the brothers over there. In Taiwan, we actually had one night out, and we decided to go out to go visit the night markets. We ended up staying a bit later, and I decided I wanted to head back early. So around 11 p.m., no, what was it? It was around 11 p.m., I go back over to there. I take a cab. The housing that we're staying in actually has a key card to get inside. And so I'm going back into the apartment. I'm going inside. I reach for my pocket. I realize I don't have the key card. I left the key card in the back of the cab. So I was like, oh, Lord, what did I do? It's corporate living. There's some people over there. I talked to some of the tenants over there. They get this brother to come by. And around midnight, this brother comes. He quietly comes up to the door, unlocks the key card, and brings me the new card. And he puts it on the bed, he presents it over to me. I just tell him, brother, I'm so sorry. It's midnight. It's really late. It's a person that I'm not even related to you. I just met you for the first time 3 minutes ago, and I'm from 7,500 miles away. I'm so sorry that you had to come out here and try and go over here. Now, if you were that person and you were trying to unlock this door, think about your hospitality. Imagine your hospitality came back around midnight and they locked themselves out of the house and they gave you a call saying, please help, get me inside. What would your reaction be? What would your normal thing? Would it be of malice? Would it be of anger? Would it be of something that, you know, just begrudgingly, okay, we're fine. This brother, when he looked me straight in the eye, he just smiled and he said, amen. So that brother was operating by something else. That was not his natural constitution. That was something of him just being exercised to turn to his spirit and just be with the Lord. So really, my burden for you is not only you come into the church life to fulfill that function that you have, but you continue to grow and take Christ as your life so that you can be, you will be part of the one new man.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay? Yes? Yes? Amen. Thank you. So my name is Ivanhoe. Some of you know me. And I wanted to share with you concerning the church, not in a doctrinal way, because you've heard these things. I mean, we had an entire summer school last year on the church. So I don't want to take for granted that you may or may not know these things, but what I want to do is share a little bit, and I pray that it's not too distracting, but I want to share a little bit of my testimony in coming into the church life, because you can't talk about the church without talking about the church life, because the church life is the reality and the manifestation of the universal church and the local church, right? So the church life is the practical working out of the church. So when we talk about the church, we have to talk about the church life. So my story starts, and I'm going to give you this first part. Please don't be distracted. If you come try to talk to me about it, I am not going to, but I use it as a contrast to what's in the world, what's in Christianity, and what I experience when coming into the church life. So I grew up going to a Catholic church, and I didn't consider myself a nominal Catholic. I was in the choir, and I was teaching Sunday school, and I was in it. I was in it for real. And this was from I was like 14 years old. So there I was on going to church on Friday night and on Saturday night, because that's when choir practice was. And we would spend a little bit of time reading from the New Testament, particularly the book of John. We would read one chapter in John, talk about it a little bit, and then we would have choir practice. After choir practice, you know what we did? Well, if you know anything about particularly my country, dancing is like the national sport. It's like we dance like you guys play ball. It's like that's what we do. So after choir practice, we went dancing, right? Terrible. I know. But that was my reality then. That was what I thought was, quote unquote, loving God, quote unquote, following God. That's what I was doing. That's what I was doing. So when I came here, circa 1992-ish, I started looking for that again and looking for that experience where I could go and be part of a Catholic church and be in a choir, and because there was something in me that was attracted to the things of the Lord, right? As confused and as twisted as that was, there was something that was, to me, attractive about the things of God. And I found out later that was the Lord preparing me to enter into the church life. So with that as a background, my entry into the church life, and this is probably where you wake up, my entry into the church life starts with a girl. And not just any girl. Not just any girl. When I approached this girl, this girl grew up in the church life, right? She grew up in the church life all her life. So I approached this girl because that's how I roll. And I expressed my interest in her. And here's what she said. Well, I'm a Christian, and I love the Lord Jesus, and that's what I'm about. I said, sure, I can be about that too. And then she said something that was really bold. She said, well, I'm not just looking for someone to sit next to me to warm up a chair. I said, what? Challenge accepted. So there she was in Cambridge, Massachusetts, studying. And this is where the church life part comes in, right? She called home to her parents, which were in, for all intents and purposes, a different country. And her parents said, no, you know, brush him off, whatever. But I really like him. Her story, not mine. Her words. So her parents immediately reached out to the members in New York City because I was close enough. They reached out and they connected me with Brother Dennis and Brother Ricky. Of course, in hopes that they would get rid of that guy. Right. So they had to trust and depend on the members of the body that were not close to where they were, close to where their daughter was, in order to take care of her. Sorry, I'm going to hydrate now. So, point number one, we are members individually one of another. They needed to depend on the members in order to care for her daughter, care for their daughter, right? So, sisters, would you be that bold to say to somebody, I'm a Christian, I don't want a bench warmer next to me? If you're ever in that situation, I hope you remember. I hope you remember, and I hope that could be your testimony as well. Okay, so fast forward a little bit. I started meeting with the brothers, and I started enjoying it. Would you believe it? I started enjoying the Lord. My first meeting ever in the church life was a table meeting. Table meeting. Now, those of you who serve on the campuses, maybe you know that you never take a new one to the table meeting for the first time. That's insanity. But my first meeting was a table meeting. And because of my choir background, The first thing I noticed when I walked in, everybody's singing. It's like I used to be, it was like me and four other people singing the whole Mass, but everybody's singing. This is awesome. Do not despise your portion. Do not despise your portion. Even your singing can capture someone for the Lord and for the church life. Even your singing. Okay. So I started meeting with the brothers, and the Lord, in his mercy and in his grace, connected me with a great group of companions. They themselves had grown up in the church life. And I tell you, growing up in the church life, you're a special breed. Because what I was used to was, okay, so I went to choir practice and then I went dancing because, you know, so I expected when I start coming to these meetings, and we had prophesying meeting on Friday night. Well, of course, the Tuesday night prayer meeting. We had prophesying meeting on Friday night. We had lessons on the normal Christian life on Wednesday night. We had young adults meeting on Saturday night. This is all in the same meeting hall that James was talking about in Manhattan on 34th Street. And I expected, okay, after the meeting, we're going to do something, right? Do any of you ever go to the meeting because you know you're going to play ball later with your boys? Or you're going to get to chat with your friends? Well, there you go. So I'm in the meeting. I'm like, okay, we're going to do something. What are we going to do? It's Friday night. What are we doing? We're going home. And we're going to do it again tomorrow night. So that's what I entered into, right? So I want to read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, and maybe some others. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word. How is your speaking? This is Timothy, a young co-worker. He was a young person. Let no one despise your youth. Be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. In love, in faith, and in purity. When someone new comes to your locality, do you have love? Do you have purity? Or do they leave more defiled than when they came in? Lord Jesus. So this is what I had. This is what I encountered, right? People who grew up in the church life who had a testimony. What a testimony. In 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing so, you may save both yourself and those who hear you. Can your testimony save someone? Yes, it can. It can, but you have to be faithful to the things that you have. That's why I say you're a special breed. You have so much. You have so much. And your living of the church life could be the factor in someone coming into the church life. So you want your friends to come to the church? Be in the church. Be in the church life. Be a pattern. Be a pattern. So that they have something to follow. Right? The Great Commission says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, the whole inhabited earth, for a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Go therefore, disciple the nations. You know what a disciple, you know what discipling means? Do what I do. You want to make disciples? You have to be able to say, do what I do. Come with me to the meeting. Come, read the Bible with me. I'm going to a Bible study. Let's go. Do what I do. This was Timothy's testimony. This was these saints' testimony. Some of them are in the room. If I call them out, they'll be not too happy. But some of them are in the room, and some of their children are in the room. So you're not too young to have a portion that captures someone, that gives them a glimpse of what the church is. What the church is. Now, continuing a little bit, I progressed a little bit in the church life. I'm not boasting. There was a little bit of progress. So as a grown man, I went to the brothers and I said, "Brothers, I'm still interested in that girl. Can I call her?" Grown man asking for permission to call a girl. Fellowship. Fellowship. There is fellowship in the body. The body tempers us. The body brings us into the reality of what we think and either confirms or rejects a feeling that we might have. Right? So we have to be in the fellowship in the body. We are members one of another, and members have fellowship. The example of the pinky is one of my favorites, because the ear doesn't talk directly to the pinky and says, "Hey, scratch me, I'm itching." The ear appeals to the head. The head directs the pinky, and the pinky goes in. So fellowship in the body is important. Fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with one another. Very important. Okay, so they gave me permission to go see the girl. And I took hospitality for the first time ever. I'm in a stranger's home, never done this my entire life. The most I did was sleep over at my cousin's. I'm in a stranger's home. And I got there pretty late because I was driving from New Jersey, 4 hours. I did it in 3.5. I was crazy back then, don't do that. So there I am in this room. And it was pretty late, so the lights were out, and I went to bed. I woke up, and I start seeing dolls and pictures of family, and I realized really quickly, this is a little girl's room. So there I was thinking, I was in an extra bedroom, but I wasn't. Somebody in that household gave up their room so that I could have a bed. Has that ever happened to you? Did you complain about it? Well, this little one didn't complain. She wasn't that little. She was in high school. She didn't complain. She didn't complain at all. And then on the way to the meeting, we didn't have Spotify back then. So on the way to the meeting, her dad goes, "Dear brother, love him, love this brother." Turns and goes, "Oh, can you sing that one, Thy Mighty Love?" And then, like, it almost like they had rehearsed it in unison, they just start singing. And I was like, who are these young people? Where did they find them? And then I went to dinner to another saint's home, and they had, well, three younger children. One was in college, one was in the training, the other one was in college, the other one was a high schooler. Invited us over to dinner. This brother was awesome. He gave me this example of, I told him I got on the train and I went to meet Brother Dennis, and he, out of nowhere, pulls out this example and goes, "Oh yeah, that train took you into the triune God." I said, "Amen." Didn't understand what he was talking about, but but you do, right? And it took me a while to catch up, but you understand this, right? So you have a lot. You have a lot to offer, right? So we're done with dinner, and then these three younger ones, right, grew up in the church life. All of a sudden, there's a violin, there's a piano, and there's a flute somewhere. And they start singing. And it wasn't rehearsed. It wasn't because I was there, right? We just started singing hymns, and you know, they were calling the number, and we were singing hymns. And that's when I realized, that's what I want. That's what I want. So I went back, and I came back to New York, and I started working really hard to get into the Word And to I was in every meeting and you know, with my companions. And I remember one time, one of our companions got married. So some of us were serving from the morning all the way till the wedding. And it was 6:30, wedding ended, right? We're eating, but the wedding's over. Saturday night, and one of these who grew up in the church, I don't want to say church kids, because that's not good, but one of these who grew up in the church life just called us all together and said, hey, we're not all here. What if somebody shows up at the meeting hall and no one's there to receive them? So you know what we said? We said, amen. And we got in our cars and drove back to Manhattan. And that was probably the best meeting ever. Because we had to give up our own enjoyment to take care of some who may come. And some did come. But we had to leave that place to take care of others. We had to put the needs of others, especially the new ones, ahead of ours. We had to shepherd them. You're not too young to shepherd your friends. If somebody new comes, and somebody used this example yesterday, if somebody new comes to the meeting and you don't even say hello, that could be a factor in that one not coming into the church life. We had this situation anyway. Somebody showed up to one of our meetings, and what a shameful situation. Somebody showed up in a meeting, and their comment to someone else was, I was there and no one even said hello to me. Isn't that, how would you feel if that happened to you? Right, so we need to care for one another. The church is the house of God. As a house, it needs to be homey. It needs to be loving. It needs to be caring. Because sometimes that's the only love some people know. So yeah, one last testimony, and then I'll end here, and end with that. So, believe it or not, you may find this hard to believe, but there are negative things written about the church life on the internet. I know. I didn't want to believe it either, but I did something dumb when I was younger. I did something dumb, and I actually went out and read it. Lord Jesus. So there I was, sitting in the crystallization study of Colossians, video training, with this poison in me, and I get a phone call, get out of there! And of course, the poison rose up in me, and I got out of there. I went home, and I said, you know what? I'm going to read the Bible. Forget about this ministry, forget about everything else. I'm just going to read the Bible on my own, and I'm just going to figure it out. So I'm sitting there in my living room, and I'm reading, and I start, okay, I'm going to start with Matthew. Book of the generation, Jesus Christ, son of Abraham, son of David. And then there's all these begots that come after. And I'm looking at it going, I don't know why this here, and I don't know what it means. And I was tempted to go back to the recovery version and look at the footnotes. But I didn't do that. So I kept reading and I kept reading. And I forgot how far I got. But at one point, I just got this clear speaking. You're not going to figure it out unless you go back. So in addition to being the house of God, the church is also the pillar and base of the truth. So you have to be constituted with the truth. That's why you get memory verses. So that you're constituted, so that they're in you. So that they're in you. So that if somebody's looking for the truth, right, there isn't this magical theoretical church that they can go. They're going to go to you as a member of the church. And they're going to want to understand what it is that God is saying in this Bible that he wrote through so many men. So you have to be constituted with the truth. The only way the church is the pillar and base of the truth is if the members, you and I, who are saved and washed and regenerated and cleansed and love the Lord Jesus, we need to be constituted with the truth. Otherwise, how are people going to know our God? Right? And I wish, because this way is much better, but my revelation of the church was not like Paul's, where he just went blind and he saw everything, and Brother Lee calls it the divine television. He just saw the church and everything, and he was able to connect it to the Old Testament. And the way I saw the church is through the members of the church. So I'll leave you with one question, and then I would like to sing a song. That was the cue for the piano players to go to the piano. I'd like to sing 852, but I'll leave you with this question. Are people able to come into the house of God through you? If not, if you don't think so, I'll encourage you to pray. Pray desperately. Lord, I want to be one through whom people can enter into your house. Amen. 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 So let's turn to hymn 852 and try to get into the feeling of this song, of this hymn, because it expresses the Lord's feeling and the Lord's view towards the church and his desire for the church to be as important to us, as meaningful and significant to us as it is to him. Amen. So let's sing 852.